All right, Alexander, we are joined today with the one and only Patrick Lancaster, who is joining us from Belgorod. And we are going to talk about the situation in this small city. And Alexander, Patrick, let's discuss the situation in Belgorod. We have someone who is there on the ground right now who can tell us what is going on. Alexander.
Yeah, because there's been an awful lot of talk about and discussion about what has been going on. The Ukrainians have attempted incursions across the Russian border in this area. There have been bitter battles for some of the villages right on the border. The reports I'm getting, and perhaps Patrick can tell us more about this, is that all of those attacks have been unsuccessful, but that more attempts to infiltrate from the Ukrainian side are still going on, though on a smaller scale. But the other thing we're getting, and this is a recurring story with these Ukrainian attacks, is that even as their actual attacks have failed, they are now resorting to shelling and to saturation strikes with multiple launch rocket systems. And that these are targeted on Belgorod city itself and on other civilian centres roundabout. So, Patrick, you are the best person I know to give us an accurate sense of what is happening. What is the feeling in Belgorod at the moment? Is the city under attack? I mean, are they getting missile and rocket strikes, as we're hearing? And how bad are they? And have we seen lots of casualties? And what are the Russian authorities doing? A lot of questions in one question. But anyway, what is your sense of the situation in Belgorod?
All right. Well, first of all, thanks for having me as always, guys. I appreciate helping me get the word out of the things I'm seeing. And as far as the city of Belgorod goes, I arrived yesterday evening after driving about 10 hours from southern Russia. And pretty much as soon as I arrived, the sirens started going off and people started running and heading to shelters because there was already a rocket attack. And after, you know, I was actually a little caught off guard. I knew the city had been under shelling, but just straight off like that, it had very different feel almost than in Donetsk. Because it's somewhat of a new situation for these people. I mean, Donetsk 10 years, here it's, you know, on and off the last couple of years. But the rocket attack for the majority was dismantled, you could say, by the anti-air, the Russian forces anti-air rockets that knocked down a lot of the incoming. But at least two did hit, I don't know if you can even say targets, because they're just apartment buildings. I went to one location right in the very center of the city that was an apartment building that was took a direct hit to, I believe, the 15th floor. And I don't understand how no one was injured, because basically a huge part of the building came off, smashed two cars, and just rubble everywhere coming from like the 15th floor. And thank God no one was injured or killed. But we talked to the residents, and they said, yeah, it's just Ukraine doing what they've been doing every day for the last 2 weeks now to the city. They just, for 2 weeks now, Ukraine has been lobbing rockets and artillery into the city, and drones as well, into the city, just hitting civilian areas. There's little memorials all across the center here of, you know, little children's toys laid out to remember the children that were killed in December at the Christmas attack. You know, I went to that location yesterday evening and saw the aftermath of the shrapnel holes. I mean, just horrible situation. And yes, for 2 weeks, the city has been under intense attack every single day. Even yesterday, our colleagues that were here, other journalists, they kind of had hoped that yesterday might be the first day without an attack because of the the day of silence that was announced by President of Russia to mourn the victims of the terrorist attack in Moscow. But unfortunately, in the evening, there was the attack, as I said. And today, I'm just waiting, unfortunately. I'm sitting here in the center, and so far there hasn't been an attack, but everybody knows it's coming. It could happen while we're on the making this video. I pray to God that there isn't an attack today, but if I was a gambling man, I'd definitely put odds on an incoming attack very soon, in the next hours, if not minutes. As far as the front line and the border area, as you said, Ukraine for the last weeks has yet again been pushing across the border, as they did about 8 months ago when they made the last time I was here eight months ago, they had made several claims of controlling villages that, in fact, they did not control. I myself just 15 minutes after they made a claim of controlling a village, I went to that village and did a short video right in front of the sign and went to the center and showed that there was no Ukrainian soldiers or RDK soldiers, as they also claimed to be there. I assume that's what's happening now. As I said, I just arrived at the city last night, so I haven't had a chance to get farther to the border area. But as I understand, there is intense fighting going on back and forth near and across the border. Who controls what? I can't really say. Russia says that, all, as you said, all the attacks have failed by the Ukrainian army, and I believe several days ago, the Russian Minister of Defense announced that they estimated Ukrainian losses at over 3,500, and that was days ago. So we can imagine what it's at right now.
What is the mood in the city? I mean, are people upset? Are they frightened? Are they angry? Are they angry with the Russian government? Are they saying the Russian government isn't protecting us? What is the mood in the city? Because you've said this is relatively new for them. It's not like Donetsk City, where this has been going on for years. And what about this talk that we're hearing so much about a buffer zone being created? Are people talking about that, or people you've managed to speak to talking about that in Belgorod? Is there a sort of, you know, discussion? Are people looking forward to that? Do you see any sign that this is being prepared? Are there lots of troops in the area? Any thoughts about any of this?
Well, as far as the feeling of the people, this is definitely new for them. I mean, in Donetsk, you know, when there's incoming shells, they're already a bit numb to it over 10 years. They don't really run so much to the basements that much anymore. But here, the siren goes off, people running for their lives, basically. I mean, in Donetsk, they don't even use the siren anymore, just because there's almost constant shelling a lot of times. But here they use the attack siren. And also, the administration and the authorities have seemed to have done kind of a good job in some aspects preparing people. One thing that I've never seen in any other city is they have these shelters made in basically every block or every couple of blocks in the center, where it's these concrete just shelters with roofs and walls and big red letters on it saying shelter. And it's for people to run in when they, you know, hear the alarms. Actually, in Donetsk, they didn't put up shelters like this. What they did was made an overall announcement to the city that people should not lock the first floor of their apartment buildings, leave all apartment buildings open. So the apartment buildings themselves on the first floor actually acted as the shelters in Donetsk. But here they took a little different approach and constructed these shelters. But you know, the people are dealing with it. They're not numb yet. There's a lot of fear in the city because just any time they know they could make their last breath. But they're dealing with it the best they can. I'm only my first day here, as I said, so I got a lot more to learn about what the people's minds are like right now and what the situation is. But we're going to see how it goes.
And the military, are the military very visible? Do you see lots of soldiers? Do you see lots of armored vehicles? Are the security arrangements very tight? Have you seen anything like that? I mean,
well, I could say I have seen security set up in certain areas that could maybe be considered high value areas, like certain stations and whatnot. But there's an increase since the last time I was here of security personnel, you could say.
Have you heard anything at all about this nuclear weapons facility we've been hearing so much about? We were contacted by, both of us, we were contacted by someone, we can't say who it was, who said that one of the objectives of the Ukrainians was to capture this depot where nuclear weapons were located. I've now seen a report in Newsweek which seems to confirm this, though it says that the depot is actually empty, that there aren't any nuclear weapons being stored there at the present time. Have you heard anything about this story? And if so, you know, what are people saying? I mean, it seems absolutely wild and reckless behavior by the Ukrainians to do something like this, if it's true.
Well, of course, I couldn't put that past them. I mean, if they were able to make a nuclear accident, you know, we saw the attempts in Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant as well. But my impression of the situation here, this daily attacks on the city, and the impression of civilians that I've talked to is that Ukraine is just trying to punish Russian people. I mean, they're not hitting the center of the city every day to hit military targets. That's not, you know, it's just not possible. I mean, they're doing this to hurt the civilian population of this city. And I mean, there's no question about that. To me, are the people that live here.
Well, it's first of all, I think one should point out that indiscriminate shelling of civilian centers with no military purpose is a war crime. I don't think anybody would dispute that. I mean, ask any lawyer on war crimes lawyer, they would confirm that. So what you're describing is the perpetration of a war crime. And we've discussed this with Donetsk City. We have exactly the same situation in Belgorod, or so at least it seems to me. And is it correct that most of the attacks are being carried out by multiple launch rocket systems, Czech-built multiple launch rocket systems, which are, as I understand it, saturation weapons? These are not apparently guided rockets. They're sort of more, that's what I'm hearing, that, you know, that they're not the kind of weapons, you should certainly not use those kind of weapons against populated areas. I mean, again, have you got any reports about this, any information about that? And about the war crimes issue, have you any comments? Maybe.
Yes. Well, I mean, there's no question that Ukraine's theme when it comes to attacking cities is constant war crimes and attacks on the civilian population. And as far as the ammunition used, yes, as you said, the main thing they're using now is the Czech-made 122 millimeter Vampire rocket, as it's called. And they use this in Donetsk often. I myself was at many locations. The most recent was when they hit the Kalinin Hospital in Donetsk with one of these rockets. This rocket is very similar to the Soviet-made Grad rocket, same caliber, but the vampires are just a little bit better, you could say. Longer range, more explosive, and free to Ukraine because they're just getting them as a gift. But no question, there's a huge number of civilian casualties on the hands of the makers of these rockets and the people responsible for giving them to Ukraine. Just like the rest of the Western supplied weapons, the HIMARS that kill civilians in Donetsk, and all the other weapons supplied by the Western countries that kill civilians. And just here, yesterday, in the attack that I witnessed and made a report on, the Russian authorities say that it was a result of, I believe, 40 vampire rockets that were fired onto the city, and thank goodness most of them were knocked out of the sky by the Russian anti-air systems. But a couple got through, unfortunately.
And just to say, these are NATO systems. So the Czech Republic, which builds these things, is a NATO member state. We've been given repeated assurances by Western governments that Western equipment will not be used in attacks on pre-2014 Russia. But there is no concealment about the fact that they're being used here. And as far as I know, the Czech Republic is not in any way concerned about that. They're not complaining to the Ukrainians or telling them to stop. That's my understanding. I mean, I just wanted to add that point as well. So yeah, another red line, if you like, has been crossed on this issue. I mean, what other weapons are the Ukrainians using? Is it just these vampire rockets, or are they also using conventional artillery?
Yeah, well, and just to kind of reiterate your point a bit, it's really an important point that people need to understand that you're making here. This area, this region, this city is not a part of the disputed territory in Donbass, or this is not anywhere that Ukraine or the West has any claim to. This is Russia, and these attacks are coming across the border into Russia, where these Western supplied weapons are not supposed to be used. But Ukraine thinks they're untouchable as far as this goes. People really need to understand that. This isn't Ukraine trying to fight for territory that they and the West says is theirs. This is attacking a Russian city that is not directly in the disputed area of the war zone. And as far as other weapons that they're using goes, of course, the Vampire is the main one. There are also many reports of drone attacks, big drones, not just the small little grenade launching drones, but other major drones, and some artillery. But the main is the Vampire rocket, which was used in December, I believe, to kill 40 people during the Christmas attacks. I believe that's the number. Don't quote me for sure, but it's somewhere around that area. Just the best weapons that Ukraine has is the Western-supplied weapons. And that's what they're using on the civilian population here.
And just to take this one point a bit further, in the Western media, at least in the British media, hardly any discussion of these attacks on Belgorod at all, just as the attacks on Donetsk basically don't happen if you follow the reporting, at least here in Britain. The same is true about Belgorod. In fact, one particular newspaper, I'm not going to name it, in Britain, but one of the big ones, they are attributing all of the fighting to these Russian dissident units that they say are conducting these operations on the border. And they're not mentioning the shelling and the missile attacks on Belgorod. Can you say something about these Russian dissident units? I mean, are they actually a Russian military force, or is it actually the Ukrainian military that is conducting these operations? I think we essentially know the answer. But again, I mean, as far as people can see, I mean, is it the actual Ukrainian military that's conducting these operations, or is there some actual Russian military force, rogue dissident military force that is actually involved in all of this?
Yeah, the group you're referring to is called the RDK, and they are supposedly a group of Russian citizens, who many of them have dual citizenship to Ukraine and other countries. But in my experience, they're more of a smokescreen. There definitely are RDK soldiers, but they're with the Ukrainian military. I mean, there are Russian citizens that fight with Ukrainian military and fly different flags in different groups. And as this is my first day, I haven't gotten too much into the situation at the border now. But when I was here before, it was the same situation, basically. Ukraine coming across, posing as RDK so they don't get in trouble. And, you know, there was. I found RDK flags and stickers and things in the positions that they were kicked out of on the border. But there were also Ukrainian military uniforms, dead Ukrainian soldiers. I mean, it wasn't just like they were, you know, Russian citizens fighting against Russia. That wasn't the case. I mean, they use Western-supplied weapons. Not only these vampires, but 8 months ago when I was here, we found Western-supplied machine guns at different things like this. So it's just a smokescreen and just another lie, basically, Ukraine tries to push. Yes, they're there. They're Russian citizens fighting for Ukraine. But there's still a lot of Ukrainians fighting for Ukraine in this exact situation.
Right. One last question from me. What about evacuation of civilians from Belgorod and things of that kind from the border villages? We've been hearing something about that. But again, have you seen signs of this? Are people who are in Belgorod looking to be evacuated? Who has been prioritized for evacuation? Children, women, those sort of things?
As far as the city goes itself, there's a lot less people than there should be walking the streets. You know, it's obvious seeing the streets of a big city like this, and I was told this by the locals. A lot of people are staying inside and have left. But as far as the official evacuations, I believe just hours ago, the governor of the area said that there were over 9,000 children evacuated from the border areas. So there's evacuations happening. I mean, this is war in Russian territory, Russian proper territory, you could say. So there's a lot going down. And the local population here is starting to understand what the population in Donetsk have been living for 10 years, unfortunately. But that's life here in the border areas now.
Gosh.
It is what it is.
Patrick Lancaster, those are my questions. I don't know whether Alex has any more questions, but I want to just again thank you for providing such clear and direct answers as you always do.
I just have one question, Patrick. Do you know what the mood is about in Belgorod about the terror attacks in Krokus City Hall? And what's your sense of it?
Well, of course, it's horrible, and you know the people of all across Russia and should across the world should be mourning for another senseless terrorist attack. Just a horrible situation overall. I mean, it's a really big cut to the Russian heart, you could say, to see all those people just senselessly executed like that. Of course, it's hard for the people here.
Okay. You're familiar with the area. Just a follow-up question. Did it look like the terrorists were traveling through Bryansk towards the border? with Ukraine? I mean, is that the usual route that one would take, or you don't know?
Yeah, I've never
You're
actually
familiar
been
with that area.
That much north, you know, but you know, it seems pretty cut and dry overall. So we'll, if that's all for you guys, I just want to again say thanks for having me on. And, you know, of course, if your viewers want to see,
Where can people find you? Where can people follow you, Patrick?
On my YouTube channel is where most of my stuff goes, Patrick Lancaster News Today. And for now, like my report that I put out, yesterday or last night, I'm making a overall film of the situation in the city now. So that report last night just went out on my Telegram channels and Twitter and Facebook and things like that. So that's as well, Patrick Lancaster News Today. You can find me, or just, you know, all my social media links are in the description of my videos. So main thing is find my YouTube channel, and I put really in-depth reports up, not like many other places that might put a 10-minute report up. I try to get most of my reports between 45 minutes and an hour, just to get as in-depth as possible, with no special cuts on interviews, full interviews, just to really show the people what the real situation is. They don't have to listen to the crap that can come from the Western mainstream media.
All right. I will have a link to... Yeah, go ahead, Alexander.
I just wanted to say, and you do that outstandingly, Patrick. And if you really want to get a true sense of this war, I would strongly urge people to go to your programs and watch the reporting that you do. And they can see there the actual real face of the war, the kind of people who are caught up in it, and the tragedy of it that is played out every single day. Because you're absolutely right. The way it is represented in the media here, especially in Britain, it sometimes comes across as a comic strip, and the reality is not that at all. It is a horrible tragedy, and people's lives are affected, and they get that most powerfully from you.
Yeah, and it's great that, you know, channels like yours and mine and others are able to get things out to the people, because we're independent. I mean, all of my reports are made because people... my viewers support my work. I mean, all of my income comes from crowdfunding. There's a link underneath all of my videos where people can click and donate if they like my work and if they want me to continue, basically. You know, it is what it is. Thank goodness we're able to stay independent with the support of viewers.
Absolutely. Definitely support Patrick and his work. I will have a link to all of his channels, most of his channels, in the description box down below and as a pinned comment. And when you go to his main channels, you will have a full list of all the places where you can follow Patrick as well. Patrick Lancaster, thank you very much.